Welcome to the sixth preseason Supercoach Coach podcast of 2016. 2 days out of lockout now and getting really, really excited for the season to kick off. My name's Marcus and this week I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day mate, how you going?
Very, very excited, mate. I hope you are too, because we've also got special guest and really good friend of the show back for preseason 2016 or season 2016, and that's Dunny. Welcome back, mate.
Dunny.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me back on this year. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's right, mate. It's good to have some company on the show, mate. Had Faz on a few weeks ago, but getting a bit sick of talking to you.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. So it's always nice to have a third point of view, and Dunny definitely brings a lot of experience and great personality to the show, of course. So before we get on to the show, as we do each week, a few reminders. Open leagues, the codes are on Facebook and on supercoachcoach.com.au. There's five leagues left, and those will be the final ones. So make sure you jump on in if you're looking for a league still. And the Supercoach Coach group, of course. We've mentioned it a few times now, but we track that group throughout the season. It's how we keep track of our community. We give shout-outs for the top weekly score and things like that. So please get involved in the community. Join up that Supercoach Coach crew.
I plan to take that out this year, mate.
I'm hoping to stop that, buddy. And of course, to our patrons out there, I think there's 30 or something or so of you so far. Thank you so much for your support. And just a reminder to you guys out there, if you enjoy the show and you want to help pitch in for some of the running costs that are involved with hosting the podcast and things like that, you can jump on patreon.com/supercoachcoach, or the link's also on supercoachcoach.com.au in the actual podcast posts. You can find those details there. We give out a few sort of benefits, I suppose, that you can check out, including a little forum badge and a private discussion board for our patrons only. So check that out. It'd be nice to get, you know, at least 1%, 50 of you signed up for the season. So yeah, check it out, guys. And again, every week we take our questions from Facebook and Twitter. So thank you all to our community at Supercoach Coach on Twitter and at facebook.com/supercoachcoach. Again, another good round of responses. So we've taken that to formulate our show. The run sheet will basically go through a whole bunch of rookies. There's quite a lot to get through. So because the rookies are mostly dependent on who's actually named come Thursday, come team sheets, we won't spend too long laboring on each individual player. Otherwise, we won't get through them all. Try and give you an indication toward who we're leaning to and some of the main risks associated with some players. And that way, you can make an informed decision come lockout. Just a reminder to the community out there, the first game will be locked out on Thursday, so that's Richmond-Carlton. Of course, we don't play footy on Good Friday, so the next game will be on the Saturday, Melbourne-GWS. So you want to lock in your players from Richmond and Carlton on the Thursday, and then you get a little bit more time to make your decisions.
That's so good that the government finally decided to give us a public holiday to think about our Supercoach teams.
It's worked out quite well.
One thing is we won't know before that Melbourne GWS game the final lineups for Geelong Hawthorn on the Monday, because they'll still have squads at that stage. So just be careful if you are, you know, thinking, right, I'm locking away those Hawthorn Geelong guys over the Saturday games.
Thanks, Donny. That's definitely something to keep in mind.
It might be ST Ruggles.
All right, we'll get on to the questions. William Miller's question is first up from Facebook. Thank you for your question. He's asked about the two premium rookies in the back line, Jacob Wiedering and Matt D. These two have been, you know, bandied around quite a lot over the preseason. Some people are considering both. Some people are considering one. Some people considering none, because they don't want to pay the extra. Where do you guys sit on either of these two?
I really like the look of Wiedering. I have run teams without him because I could spend that money pretty well elsewhere. But I'm not totally convinced on some of the cheaper rookies. If a few extra come up, then I might not start Wiedering. But he looks pretty solid. He's not going to set the world on fire. He's not going to become a keeper. But at $220,000, if you can average close to 70, that'd be a pretty good deal, I think. And I do like the idea of locking in one of the more expensive rookies, just so that you're not exposed to too many cheap rookie scores on field each week and just expecting Wiedering to do a little bit better. What do you guys think?
I like him. I think intercept marking is going to be a key for him. He's going to score well from that. So he's someone to definitely consider.
I've also jumped on board, guys. I think that, you know, it's rare that you pay that much for a key defender. But if you haven't watched him, that'll probably be the only reason why you don't have him in your team, because he's that composed, he's that good with the ball that, yeah, he's in my team as well. I think the deeper your defense is in terms of rookies on ground, the more likely you are to have Wiedering. And it looks like a lot of us, considering midfield rookies are a little bit light on this year, there will be a lot of us that have quite a lot of defensive rookies.
That's a really good point, mate. If I had one rookie on field, it definitely wouldn't be Wiedering. If I had two, it'd be borderline, and I probably still wouldn't have him. But I think if you're looking at three or four rookies on the ground, then I think you have to be picking a little bit more security with one of them. Now, Matty D came up. He scored two lots of 90s in the NAB. Both of them were in, I think, 35 degrees in games where we just absolutely got smashed. So. And we didn't have our best 22 in. So there's a lot of people thinking he's an awesome pick. There's a lot of people thinking he's not best 22. I think I lean towards the not best 22.
That's pretty damning for an Essendon supporter, Mark.
There's a bunch of Essendon supporters out there that think he's an absolute lock for our 22. I just think that there's quite a few players in the back line that he'll be competing with spots for, and there's not really a huge incentive for us to put development into him.
If he makes your round one team, will you be starting him?
Still not, mate, because, I mean, you're looking at Dempsey's suspended for the first four rounds. Are those two going to be playing, competing for a running off half-back spot? Four rounds is not enough to be getting from a rookie. It's actually a worst-case scenario kind of thing, because then all the other alternatives that you might be correcting to have already risen in price. So, yeah, I just think that he's competing with too many other players. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets a spot, keeps a spot, and does well. It's not going to be a massive surprise to me. I'm just leaning towards the too much uncertainty to pay $180,000 for.
Especially just because if we have Wiedering already in our sides, it's hard to shell out cash for both of these blokes. We'll move on to Gary Real's question here. He's listed quite a few of these backline rookies. Mitch Brown, Hartley, McTipp, Nathan Broad, Marcus Adams, T. Ruggles and Nick Newman. Can we trust any of these backline players? Another three Essendon backline players there. Mitch Brown, Hartley, and Tippin Woody. Yes, all right.
Just call him Waller, man. Waller. He likes to be called Waller.
Okay, all right. That's good. I can do that. Thoughts on those other three Essendon blokes, Mark?
I've had all of those three in my team most of the preseason, so for at least a month, and Brown and Hartley since the very beginning. They're all on Essendon's list or on the rookies list, so there is incentive to put games into them to develop them. You'd think that Brown and Hartley should play most weeks. The problem with Brown is he could be playing up forward some weeks, down back other weeks, depending on injuries and what we need at the time. All three of them are probably going to set the world on fire in regards to scores. They're playing for a team that probably won't win too many games. So if they average 60 to 70, I think that that's doing their job. If they average 55 to 60, they're probably doing their job, and I'd be okay with that. They just seem to have probably a little bit better job security than the other four rookies that you've mentioned.
Does Waller have to be upgraded from the rookie list still, or has he been upgraded?
As far as I'm aware, he does have to be upgraded, but we have a couple of spots to upgrade to, and I think he's well and truly in front in that race.
The concern that I have is with Mitch Brown, and you hit the nail on the head. If he's playing up forward, he doesn't tend to score as well. You know, his NAB scores, yeah, he had 104, but his second two NAB games showed a 46 and a 13, which are a real concern for me. Particularly, I think a lot of people have got him on the ground. At the moment, he's actually not in my side. I do have the other two guys, though, Hartley and your man Waller.
I do agree with that. I think that it's a bit tricky, though, because you're talking about in those next two games, the last two NAB games, Essendon lost by like 100 points. Like, they were complete blowouts, and it was really hot both days. And we didn't have our best teams in on those days. And one of them was against West Coast over there. Like, I think that we're not going to be that competitive this year, but I don't think most games will be that bad. What are your thoughts on the other four, mate? Broad, Adams, Ruggles, and Newman.
Marcus Adams probably looks like the strongest out of those four for mine. I think his job security seems reasonably decent. The only thing is scoring potential as a key position defender. He's a mature age waffle player, so that means that his body should handle the rigors of AFL. Ruggles is one that I don't really understand people bringing up as much. Geelong's list is quite deep at the moment. I understand that Jackson Thurlow got injured, but I think people looking to that as a reason that he'll be getting games is probably extrapolating a bit too much from that. Yeah, our list is really deep. He's a player that's come from the VFL as a mature ager, sure, but whether or not he's up to that class or that level that would see him come into the Geelong side, I'm not really too sure about that. I think that Bartel would sooner go into the back line and we play another midfield slash forward, or like Corey Gregson at the moment might get pushed out by Lincoln McCarthy, for example. I think they would probably play Gregson ahead of Ruggles and then move Guthrie or Bartel to play as that small defender or medium defender. Yeah, I don't really see him breaking into the side, so I really wouldn't touch him. I could be proven wrong, though. He might be listed in game one, in which case I'll eat my words, but at this point, not for me.
I'm expecting big things from Tommy Ruggles. That really disappoints me that you say that. I kind of think last year's best and fairest winner in the VFL, he's not there as a development player. He's there to play when he's ready, and he's shown enough in the NAB to, that if he is given a chance, he'll probably stand up. And either of you guys like Nathan Broad?
I like Nathan Broad. He's, you know, a couple of 60s in the NAB Cup. I think he's done enough, although I have heard a few high-profile Richmond supporters on various media outlets saying they don't think he's best 22. So if he's not on that team sheet tomorrow, then yeah, he'll be one of the most hotly dropped players in the competition. I think he's probably borderline best 22, so he's in my side at the moment, but I think he'll be the one who comes out from Adams.
Yeah, I definitely have Adams ahead of him myself, but a mature ager as well. I've heard exactly the same thing, Dunny. A lot of people outside of Richmond expect him to play, but the people inside seem to think that he won't be getting a game despite all their injuries.
We've got a couple of players here to mention that we didn't get questions about in the back line. Brendan Whitecross and Ciaran Byrne from Carlton. Do you guys like either of these two players, and do you think they're maybe worth mentioning?
No, personally. I think that Whitecross definitely has the potential that he could play a bunch of games and score all right because he's done it in the past. Byrne really hasn't scored much when he's been playing, though. I really don't have Whitecross's best 22 at the Hawks. He might surprise me, though, but you're paying a lot of risk at 200,000. Byrne, yeah, just hasn't scored enough points when he has been given an opportunity.
All right, we've got a question here from Nora. How many rookie defenders should we have? So I thought this would be a good way to wrap up the back line. How many rookie defenders are you guys sitting on right at this moment?
I'm currently sitting on 4 rookie defenders at the moment, and 3 of them are Essendon players, which concerns me a touch. But I think, as we've talked about at the top of the show, the lack of midfield quality rookies this year means we're going to have more, and I think defence is the place to put them this year.
Yep, and I was sitting on those 4 for quite a while as well, mate, and then just played around with going out to 5, and I just found that meant I was able to do a lot more with my team, and I could find at least 5 defensive rookies that I was okay to start in my team. So I'm reasonably comfortable sitting at probably at least 5 rookies at the moment. I think if you go to 6, you're exposing too many low-scoring rookies onto your field, but I'm fairly comfortable with 5.
My thoughts pretty much echo yours, Mark. I've got 5 at the moment. I wouldn't go to 6. And I think, you know, the back line is my least favourite position to pick Supercoach players, especially during the preseason to set your opening teams. Last year, I selected like 3 or 4 mid-price players, and this year I'm going to, you know, max out on the rookies that I can. So I definitely think it's the right place to take some risks and save some dollars, because they tend to be fairly uninspiring, the back line selections. On to the midfield rookies now. The first question here is from Ross Mark. Martin, is it too much to have Parrish, Mills, and Oliver? He's thinking about potentially all 3 and maybe downgrading one to, you know, a rookie that he missed out on prior to price changes. Thoughts on these expensive blokes?
Yeah, I guess I have had all 3 in my team at one point, but was convinced that it probably wasn't the right idea. I think that I have Mills and Oliver just ahead, mainly because we haven't seen a lot of Parrish. What we did see in the game against Carlton, it's really hard to get a read on him because he only really played half a game. It was against a very weak Carlton outfit, but he was awesome when he played. So, look, I think that it's possible to pick all 3. I probably don't think it's a very good idea to have one on the bench. I can see why you might, if there's like a real lack of midfield rookies that do come up. I can't understand why people might do that. I think if your goal is really to trade down, that's not an awesome goal. You don't want to be planning for rookie corrections. You want to give yourself a little bit of flexibility, but you certainly don't want to be planning on making a correction a few weeks in.
I agree completely. I don't have Parrish in my side. I do have Mills and Oliver. Parrish is listed on the injury report with a hamstring as a test, which is also a big concern when you're looking at a rookie. He did look good in that game, albeit against Carlton. But for now, I'd be keeping him out of my side at the moment.
William Taylor's asked about Hewitt from Sydney. If he can get a game, will he be worthwhile?
Scored 118 in the first and 82 in the third from not like a lot of game time as well. So they're pretty good numbers. He does come reasonably highly rated. There is a couple of positions in the Sydney side this year up for grabs with a couple of their running defenders not there this year. So, look, I think that Hewitt will probably be given an opportunity round one, and it'll be up to him to take it. So given the lack of opportunities we have to pick other alternatives, I think you probably are going to be forced to go with someone like Hewitt. What do you reckon, Dunny?
I really don't like picking Sydney rookies. I just don't trust Longmire enough. But having said that, there's certainly enough evidence there to say that if he's named, he should be very heavily considered for your side.
Yeah, scoring potential is good. And I think, you know, considering the midfield this year, considering, you know, most people are only running maybe a couple of rookies with a three-rookie deep bench, you can afford to pick a rookie that's not getting games every week. Further to that, this year we don't have the sub rule. So if a player's coming in and out, he's not coming in and out as a sub. He's not getting ruined by sub scores. As long as he's scoring well while he's in the team and you know, his more mature body certainly suggests that. His inside midfield possession certainly suggests that. Then they could still be worthwhile selections selecting. So I think, might be worth considering, even if he has a few job security concerns. You'd still want to see him play round one, though. Next question is from Dale Watts. He's asking about Keys and Gresham. Thoughts on either of these two blokes?
Really like the look of Gresham. A bit more expensive, but given lack of options, you might just have to take him. Did have really good disposal. If he's named round one, he's in my team. Keys, we didn't see so much of. Only played, was it one of the NAB games?
Yeah.
And didn't play in the last
one. Yeah, he played the first one.
Yeah, and didn't play in the last one. So I think that the plan was that Matheson would be playing round one and not Keys. I know he was a very highly rated junior, but don't think he'd play more than the first few games unless he really outshone what they're expecting.
Got four more players here that we've identified that we didn't get questions about. Ryan Davis, Brent McCaffer, Ryan Crowley, Lockie Weller. Brent McCaffer has previously selected him in our sides. This year's priced a lot more expensive, though. I think it's 174,000. Probably seems too expensive for his scoring potential and his role. Would you agree with that, guys?
Was he about that when we picked him a couple of years ago, Danny?
I reckon he was. Yeah, his previous role was as a tagger, and there's a hell of a lot of players, really good quality players, running through that Collingwood midfield. So I just wonder, you know, how much of the ball he's actually going to see through there. I think, you know, I just wonder whether Buckley will throw him back to that tagging role again.
And if he does, that's not a good pick at that price.
So that brings us to Crowley then. At 202,000, does that rule him out?
I actually like Crowley better than McCaffer as a pick. I think that he will play some tagging, but he'll also play a bit more of an attacking role at Essendon that he wasn't allowed to play at Fremantle. So I think his past averages are probably a little bit misleading. I think that Essendon got him to play 22 games this year. One of the few players that will, because it's not about development with Crowley. It's about him providing some protection for our young guys through the midfield. And that's what his role will be. And he also has shown that he can play a little bit at half forward. So, look, I haven't really had strongly considered Crowley for a long time because his price is really tricky at 200,000, but I think he could turn out to be a reasonably decent pick. He just needs that one or two decent games in a row to work out.
Would you potentially pick him ahead of Parrish?
As a Bomber supporter, I want to pick Parrish just because he's exciting and that's something to really barrack for. I could see him working out better than Parrish, and I could see Simpkin potentially working out better than Parrish. I'm probably going to take none of them, but if I probably took one, I'd lean towards Parrish just because he's the young gun and I want to see him do well and have something to support. That's not a great reason for everyone else to pick him, though.
Yeah, I think I'd probably actually lean to Crowley ahead of Parrish at this stage. Lockie Weller, 206,000. There's talk that Bennell's going to miss the first few games. Tempted by him at all, Dunny?
I like Lockie Weller. He came out with a couple of good scores early with an 81 and a 60. Only a 24 in their last game, but he did only play 53% game time throughout the NAB. So I do like him. I think, having said that, as soon as Bennell's ready to go, his head's right and his body's right, they will get him in.
And finally, Ryan Davis, mature age player, recruited in case of injuries, and the injuries have hit. At $102,000, he's basement priced. Would you guys consider him potentially as a bench position? It's good that you're spending the minimum amount.
Other than Mills, he is the most locked rookie in my midfield, I would have thought.
Yeah, he's occupying a spot on my bench at the moment. I don't know the answer. Has he been upgraded?
I don't think he's officially been upgraded yet. I haven't seen anything to say that he has. He was competing with McPherson and someone else, but he does seem to have like the number one rights to that position, and I think they might even have a second spot that they can upgrade because of Swallow. So I'd very much expect him to be upgraded. Yeah, he should get named, and he should play at least the first few games. And just because there's so few options, a mature age at 102 really stands out.
Yeah, I'm expecting all the upgradings to happen Wednesday afternoon / Thursday morning, I think, is about when there'll be a big flood of them hit the marketplace.
We'll move on to Troy Rodney's question now. Considering that the midfield rookies are a bit sparse and they're better rookies in the backs and forwards, how many rookies do you guys currently have in your midfield?
I have three basement price guys, well, not basement, 102 to 120K guys sitting on my bench. I then have Mills and Oliver sitting on the field, and that is it in the midfield for me at the moment.
Yep, mine's not too far from that. I am going between that sort of setup, or I've had teams with one less rookie than that and gone really quite deep in my midfield.
At the moment, I'm the same as you, Dunny. I've got the five, and I've also flipped to four like you, Mark, at certain times over the preseason and gone a little bit deeper with some of the mid-priced midfielders that we previously talked about, like Libba.
I think it's relevant here to talk about Brad Crouch. For me, that's where the extra non-rookie would come in. What do you guys think? Like, I mean, his numbers that he's already posted in the games that he has played at AFL level, sort of 95 to 105 average, does not seem too far out at all. He's a bit older now. He has had a few setbacks in the preseason, but he's also done a decent amount. Missed the last NAB game, which he was going to play because of a drinking issue. Do you think he's a reasonable pick at 300,000? Can you play Libba and Crouch? Marcus, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think Toby Green, you know, at one stage got suspended for some misconduct and came back and absolutely destroyed the season with a point to prove it. It'd be very scary if Brad Crouch did the same thing upon returning after that slap on the wrist for going out drinking. I definitely think the potential is there. And if you were to consider dropping down to one rookie, it would definitely be for Crouch. So for me, it's a little bit dependent on how team sheets come out. If there's enough rookies in the midfield that I'm happy with, I will probably just run with the five midfield rookies and pass on Crouch. But having said that, I'm very happy to pick him up as well.
Don't have him in my side at the moment. He's been in and out and in and out, and I don't actually have Liberatore on my side at the moment either. I'm still concerned about his foot. He's had a lot of issues, a lot of feet trouble throughout his career so far. Hopefully the drinking thing's behind him. Mad March has finished in South Australia just about, so we're running out of events to go to.
Question here from Andrew Frawley that's sort of answered now. Is there an argument to pad out with mid-price midfielders this year? And I think more than any other year, we're considering that. And that's not just because the rookies are lied on, but also because they're quite solid midfield mid-price options in Libba and Crouch. Yeah, that's a yes to that.
Just think that the other factor coming into it is that there's only 100,000 difference between a Crouch and an Oliver, which has changed from previous years. Like, Crouch is super cheap. Oliver is quite expensive for a rookie, so the difference isn't quite as big as it was a couple of years ago.
Agree with that. We'll move on to the rucks now. We didn't get questions on the ruck rookies, which is fair enough. They don't tend to be very exciting. I put a couple on the run sheet. First up, Daniel Curry. He's behind Nichols, obviously, but if Nichols goes down, Curry comes in. We've picked Curry on that pretense before, and he's not actually played a game. What do you guys reckon on Curry?
I think there's a big difference being behind Nichols and behind Goldstein, because Goldstein was a very durable ruckman, so it might give Curry more chance. I mean, this time you're paying a bit of a premium to bring him in, $160,000 instead of like the cheap price. So are you willing to pay a premium for someone that might not play, and the fact that we've already been burnt from him not playing in the past, that psychologically plays into it a little bit. The fact that Nichols has never played more than 15 games in a year is not a great sign for him, and it is a great sign for Curry. Curry's NAB form, where he got 70 and 91, is awesome. I mean, if he was named round one as a second ruck, I would probably try and find the money. I find it really hard to put $160,000 on the bench as an insurance policy when I don't know whether I'm going to need that insurance.
Mason Cox was a ruck forward that performed quite well in the first NAB game, and people thought that he might firm for a round one selection, but it seems that Corey Galt has been elevated ahead of him from the rookie list, so Mason Cox might not get elevated until mid-season or get an opportunity until then. But Sam Grimley should definitely be playing some games for you, Mark, and he's quite cheap and has that flexibility as a ruck forward. He certainly is the front runner for me. 124,000.
If he's named round one, he'll definitely be the one that goes into my team. His scoring in the NAB wasn't great. I mean, he missed like five shots a goal against Carlton, which I mean, he only scored 46, and then in the other two NAB games, the ball just wasn't anywhere near his end. So, and he did even play back at one point. I'm not sure that he's reliable best 22 at Essendon, but we do want to give some support to Danaher. So, yeah, he's sort of best of a pretty bad bunch to be picking from. Has been in my team for most of the time. I don't actually see a huge benefit in the ruck forward flexibility because I don't really see him earning enough money to be trading out at any point, and I don't really think that there's any other ruck forwards that I'd be willing to pick in my team at any point. So I don't think that that's actually a huge advantage. Dunny, who's your third ruck?
My third ruck at the moment is an interesting selection, I guess you could call it. I've gone ultra cheap. I don't really care about my third ruck at the moment. I agree with what you just said about ruck forward. I'm not too worried about that, although this guy does have forward. Just a bit of my strategy. I've actually gone primo in my ruck. So currently I'm sitting there with Martin and Jacobs. So if either of them went down, they're worth enough that I can go to someone else in a trade. I've actually got the real rookie price guy from Gold Coast. Is it Lersh, however you say it? 102K. I don't think he'll ever play. But something I did hear that was very interesting today, which is true, is that Gold Coast don't play any Friday night games this year. So if you're using a Friday night vice-captain, he's a very simple one to throw onto your field to pick up the captain's score if you want to do it that way.
Okay, yeah, I have considered that. I don't think Grimley is going to offer you a whole lot more than a guaranteed donut. So I can understand people going that way. I think Wyatt from Collingwood also has a pretty good draw in regards to playing late in the round, at least for the first half of the year.
We're moving on to the forward line now, and the first question up for discussion is from Wally Wallace. Can you tell us if McCarthy will get a gig? So I'll take this as a Geelong
support. Please say yes, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he will. Like I mentioned earlier on in the piece, I think that, you know, potentially Corey Gregson looks like he could miss out on a spot this year because Lincoln McCarthy has just played so well that I think he's undeniable for a spot in the starting team. He's given a good number from early on in his career, being granted contract extension after contract extension despite not getting on field. Just goes about his footy the right way, attacks the footy the right way, is a good lead-up player, has proven to be a decent enough kick at goal. I think he'll play and score well, and I think, yeah, he's a lock for mine.
I'm not totally sure he's going to score well, but, yeah, definitely a lock. Had some skills, this kid.
Yeah, he's in my team at the moment. I like him.
Moving on to some other rookies, we didn't get too many questions about the forward rookie, so I just cobbled together a few players that I thought are worthy of discussion. Some probably don't need as much discussion as others. The first one, Peter Wright, maybe an example of a player that doesn't potentially need too much discussion. 187,000 chance to get a spot with Charlie Dixon out of the team, but scoring potential a bit of an issue.
Yeah, I think Emma Quayle had him going number one in his draft year, but he's only 2 years into the system this year, so still needs a bit more development. Wouldn't surprise me if you actually see him have a couple of decent-sized games. Really tricky to pick him at that price. If he was a ruck forward, maybe there'd be more incentive, but there's a fair bit of competition with the forward rookies this year.
Wayne Malera from Adelaide, highly touted player from last year's draft crop, 176,000.
I like him, but I haven't actually had him in my team. What do you reckon, Dunny?
I don't have him in my team at the moment. I still wonder about his best 22 position. He probably is, but only just for mine. But at that price, he's probably a little high for what I think you might get from him.
Yeah, I think that he'd probably be a great sub-candidate last year. So awesome that he won't be subjected to that this year. I think he might be good enough that one of those players where you're just not sure whether he's best 22 at the start of the year, but he's good enough and he does it and he just holds on.
Corey Ellis, 193,000 forward mid, was from last year's draft crop in the first round. Scored only 36, being affected a lot by the sub rule this year. Won't affect him, but job security is still a little bit of a concern with him.
Should play, but not really on my radar.
Not on my radar.
Jonathan Simkin, Mark, you previously mentioned him before. He's available in the forward line, but at 223,000.
Look, I think that he's another one that could play a lot this year because he's sort of fighting for another place on an AFL list, I guess. But I sort of see him averaging maybe 65-70, which isn't enough at that price considering there's a lot of competition for forward rookie spots.
Next player is Sam Kerridge. Now, he's one that we all probably...
Lock.
Yeah, we like him a little bit more. Inside mid, forward mid, 138,000. Has proved himself at an AFL level before. Lock.
Just don't put him on your bench.
Absolutely.
Hide him away on your bench.
Nekiah Cockatoo. Last year, we were considering him, and he actually started off at a more expensive price point than he's at to start season 2016. So he's 172,000 for this year. Under the tutelage of Dangerfield, going to play as a small forward slash winger.
Suspended the first 2 weeks. He was in my team before that. Under the tutelage of Dangerfield, is that just what you're going to say about all the Geelong rookies now to hype them up?
Hey, I didn't say that on McCarthy. Dangerfield has taken him under his wing a little bit, so they have been quite close, Mark. You know, what you called out is probably fair enough. The first two games that he's suspended for is a bit of a concern. Yeah. I think he's got fairly decent top-end scoring potential. I think consistency is a little bit of a concern, but as a rookie, if he has a couple of big games where he kicks some goals and has some decent contested possessions, he could be a decent enough pick, but at that price point, potentially a bit too risky. Connor Menadue from the Richmond Tigers, 155,000, a forward mid, only played the 5 games last year.
I lie.
Yeah, I'm locking him in. I like him. He'll play, just no question. And like Kerridge, starting on your field.
He has been on the bench a few times for me, but yeah, I can see why he'd say that.
I think Hardwick talked him up a little bit, saying that he really rates his disposal, and I think he also played above 80% of time on ground over the course of the 3 NAB games, so yeah, definitely looks fantastic. Next player is a former Collingwood player, moved over to Melbourne, Ben Kennedy, picked in some of our Supercoach sides a couple of years ago, a forward midfielder, priced at 188,000.
Massive lock.
Yeah, if Kerridge was a big lock, this guy, you couldn't get a lock big enough for him. I really like him. Thought he was really unlucky at Collingwood to get vested as much as he did. And he's been sitting at F4 for me for quite some time now.
Kicked goals, got possessions, did really well in the NAB, everything you'd expect.
Played 70% time on ground and scored above 75 in all 3 games. So got to like that conversion. And then the last one is a more of a defensive forward, Nick Comer. Job security looks quite good, but the role in the Essendon side is fairly concerning. Mark, has he broken into the team as one of your 5 Essendon players?
No, mate, he actually hasn't, because I just worry about whether I'm going to be better off just picking one of the defensive rookies that I have a little bit more confidence in and bringing someone like a Waller or Adams up forward or Brown up forward. Yeah, I mean, he had the highest DT score for us in game number 2, but that was 64 against the Cats. So I just don't see his scoring potential as being there.
I've had him in and out of my side, but now that we've had, as you said, a few more of the defensive rookies stand up, and particularly with a few of them now being defensive forward, one of those guys will slot into the forward and he will actually drop out. He's in my side at the moment, but he will drop out of it, I think. For the reasons you said, I don't think he's going to score high enough, and he's really just been sitting there for job security.
Agree with that. So similar question again for the forward line. How many rookies are you guys currently sitting on?
I'm currently sitting on 5, and in that 5, we're including guys like Kennedy, Menadue, and Kerridge.
I currently have 4, but I could move to 5. I'm sort of flexible on those 2, with Daniel Wells in there, of course.
I'm at 5 at the moment as well. Sounds like we are on the same page, guys, across the ground.
Yeah, fairly similar structures.
Mm-hmm. James Hawkins has a question. Who are the rookie locks that you guys have? So, and we've mentioned a few locks so far. Who are the guys that, you're not going to think twice about when team sheets come out?
I guess Mills is the most obvious one. Kerridge, Kennedy, Menadue, more than likely. The other ones are all probably a little bit tricky. It all, depending on team sheets, could get thrown up in the air.
I agree with you, Mark. I think the only other one is probably Oliver, but yeah, he's probably not quite in the same lock category as those other four guys.
Dependent on your structure, Wiedering may be a lock. He's certainly not left my side for quite a while now. And then, like I mentioned before, McCarthy is for mine, but that could be a little bit of a Geelong bias playing in there. Another question from JM Hawkins. Is it ever okay to pick a rookie who isn't named in round one? For example, Christian Petrarca.
I think it's definitely okay to do that sometimes. I think there's some people out there that have a strategy where they pick someone like a Petrarca, or maybe even the cheapest option in that sort of role that can float around, and you can then use that player to get your best captain onto the field. You can use them to get your best rookie onto the field. I don't really feel like this is the season to do that, because lack of midfield rookies means you might just struggle a little bit with cash generation. I know the sub rule's been removed, but I don't think this is the year to pick a floating donut. I know, Marcus, me and you have never really been a fan of that strategy anyway. But I think Petrarca is actually definitely the wrong person to start, because he's such a great downgrade target. If he's not going to be playing AFL for 5 or 6 weeks, that's perfect. And he's someone that you're going to be looking to trade one of the rookies that has been playing down to him. And there might not be too many midfield options to downgrade to either. So, yeah, there's no way that I would start Petrarca given the timeline of his return as it looks at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's 4 weeks from like a VFL game and then a few weeks more to prove his AFL worth. So, yeah, I agree with that. Having said that, if there were a rookie that were coming back in after maybe 2 to 3 rounds and you're quite sure on that, maybe it'd be a different story. You get a floating donut for a couple of rounds. Somebody like potentially Nakia Cockatoo, he's out suspended for 2 rounds. If you're very confident on his scoring potential, it might be okay to pick somebody like that. But it tends to be a very, very rare case. And I agree with you about the floating donut, Mark. If there was a place to take the floating donut, it's definitely the Rocks. That's probably where I sit on that. Dunny, anything to add on that?
Mate, I think you hit the nail on the head, Mark, when you're talking about Petrarca. I agree completely. He's a massive downgrade target for me. Yeah, you might have someone like a Hewitt or a Davis who may do really well for a couple of rounds and then potentially get dropped. Petrarca sitting there ready to bring into your side. The only place that I ever consider playing a donut is in my ruck bench, and that's at the moment what I'm doing, only because there's not really much else there that's really worth putting in terms of, you know, you don't want to spend too much money on your bench player in your rucks. So, yeah, in that case, I usually try and take the cheapest guy I can. Yeah, Dan Curry's been that man for a number of years. He's, you know, been on a lot of premiership teams in fantasy land, I think, over the years. But, yeah, this year he's costing a bit much because it looks like he might actually play.
All right, fellas, that pretty much wraps up all the rookie talk. Hopefully that's, you know, comprehensive enough for you guys to run through and get a little bit of an idea of how to pick your rookies once team sheets come out. To wrap up the show, I want to cover a few midfielders that we covered in episode 2 that we locked away, or that you locked away, Mark, that potentially need a bit of revisiting now that we're 2 days out from the season opener. Now, Ablett, Rockliffe, Liberatore, those were your 3 locks, Mark. Thoughts and or updates on those 3?
Those guys have never left my team, despite injury concerns or whatever it is. I actually remember on that, was it the first show or the second show, saying, even if Ablett doesn't train or play between now and round one, I would still pick him at that price. Well, here we are. He hasn't played at all in 6 weeks long, and I'm still 100% picking him. Way too much upside at his price. Same with Rockliffe. Everything out of the camp say that they're ready to go, totally ready for round one. Liberatore, I know that there's quite a few people out there that have been wavering a little bit, and Dunny mentioned earlier that he has wavered. I know that there's a couple of decent reasons why that might be wavering, that like, how is he going to be first year back from an ACL? Have the Bulldogs changed enough that his role isn't so significant? But he's capable of some really, really big scores, and if you can get a couple of them early, if he can get off to 105, 110 start, then that's just huge. If he doesn't turn into a keeper, that's fine. But I can't imagine not taking someone that's averaged 107 and 110 in their last 2 seasons when they're available at 350,000.
Yep, I definitely agree with that. I think, you know, Crouch at 306,000, if he's tempting, surely Libba's just a player you don't even think about at only 50,000 more, having achieved the scoring potential he's already hit. So yeah, I agree with you. Ablett, Rockliffe, Libba, all still locked for me. Nathan Fyfe is one that was out at the start of the preseason, then came in, and then not sure now whether or not to spend on him or spend on a Pendlebury type instead. As the premier midfielder from last year and Brownlow medalist, Dunny, where are you sitting on Fyfe right at this moment?
I don't have Fyfe in my side at the moment, and I don't like the look of my midfield without him, but I'm probably not going to start the season with him at the moment. No real reason other than I think I've got a few other players that I like in there as well. So he did have that injury sort of concern over the preseason, but I think his form in the NAB shook that off enough to be you know, to be okay to go.
I've got him in my team at the moment. Danny, I think that if you don't start with him, then you probably can't bring him in, unless like he has a game where he gets injured or something like that, just because I think the risk of him missing games goes up the further we go into the season. I'm definitely concerned about Ross Lyon managing him. The way Ross Lyon did it last year was not so much, oh, we're going to give Fifey a week off here. It was more, oh, we'll just play him down forward for a whole quarter or give him some extra time on the bench. And he did that with a lot of players last year. So I think that that is actually going to limit his scoring ceiling. Price at 670,000, average 124. Can he go beyond that? Maybe not. Do I want to spend the first half of the year yelling at the TV every time the Fife gets the ball? No, I do not. Just for the fact that he's so much fun to barrack for, that's probably why he's in my team.
He's been in and out of mine. He's currently sitting out. Yeah, I'm still undecided heading into round one, so it'll be interesting whether or not.
Yeah, actually good to see you've got all the big decisions locked down there, Marcus.
Waiting okay.
for a bit more information on Fifey, find out whether he's good or not.
All right, thanks for the chat, fellas.
No worries, mate. I can't believe it's almost over. Mate. I'm starting to feel a little bit nervous.
I am looking forward to watching some proper games that mean actual premiership points in the bank. That's very exciting. Easter Monday, Hawthorn Geelong. I've got my tickets lined up for that. So very, very excited for the weekend of footy. And I'm very happy that the Friday is going to work out very well for last-minute preseason research.
Not that much looking forward to the season because of all the shitstorm with the Bombers. Not looking forward to the long journey to and from the games, but looking forward to Supercoach and, yeah, getting some actual points on the board and working out how good or crap my decisions are.
Mate, when's the last time you got to pick five Bombers in your starting side?
Yeah, they're bloody shit ones, though.
Dunny, how are you feeling ahead of the season opener?
Yeah, looking forward to the season, mate. I'm bit nervous about my team here, and I'll still be tinkering with it right up until each of the lockouts as they roll across the weekend. Obviously, a bit less as the weekend goes because there won't be so many players to choose from. But in terms of real footy, yeah, really looking forward to getting back to there. I'm looking forward to going on Sunday to see Power and the Saints. Hopefully, we can get off to a better start this year and not be so rubbish like we were last season.
I just realised I am in for the worst year of my life. Because I go for Essendon, couldn't be a worse situation, right? Bloody Port Adelaide, pick up Charlie Dixon, have the best draw that they've ever had in the history of AFL. Geelong's draw goes from the second hardest to the second best. You guys are just going to be rolling in it all. You're so happy with your footy teams and all this crap. And I'm just going to be so sad every week. So my Supercoach team better kick your ass.
And you forgot to throw in there that Marcus has also got Dangerfield in his club as well now.
I'm leaving, boys.
So yeah. mate, hope the opening round isn't too harsh for you. Good luck, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us over the preseason. We're hitting about 5,000 listens across our preseason episodes, so thank you all for a massive preseason of support. Don't forget, you can find us on patreon.com/supercoachcoach if you have a few extra dollars to donate toward the show. We'd very, very much appreciate that. Again, a massive, massive thanks to Dunny for coming on to our rookie show. It's a huge one, as it is each year. I think it's the most anticipated show that we do each year, and so it's great to have Dunny on.
Huge.
Thanks very much, guys. Look, always happy to come on, guys. And yeah, I was really thanking you the other day when I thought, hang on, they've brought me on for the hardest show of the year. So thanks very much.
Mate, you helped us get through
always
it.
Always enjoy it, guys.
We're looking forward to having you thanks, on throughout the season. So good luck to everyone. Don't forget, Thursday lockout is the first one, and then you've got until Saturday to pick the rest of your side. So best of luck, and we'll catch you all after round one. See ya.
See ya.
See you, everyone.